Lesson 31 Thoughts on the Spring Festival Text A My first spring festival in North China was a bit of a shock. Where was the spring? There was snow on the ground and ice on the Summer Palace Lake, and a northwest wind was blowing. In England, where I come from, we think of the flowers that bloom in the spring, the crocuses and daffodils and the flowering trees, purple lilac, yellow laburnum, rosy horse chestnuts, pink and white hawthorn or may. In fact, we say, cast not a clout till May is out. That means don't leave off any clothes until the Mayflower is in bloom. By then it's warm, so you won't catch cold if you shed a garment. Then I had another problem. In Beijing, despite the snow and ice, it's often sunny over the Spring Festival, so I liked to go out, to walk in the snow round the Summer Palace Lake, or to skate on Kunming Lake. Then we'd come home and find that old friends had called on us while we were out. So gradually we learnt the laws of the Spring Festival. The first day, Chuyi, is for feasting at home with the family and very close friends. The second and third days are for paying and receiving visits. So we changed our holiday lifestyle and stayed at home or called on friends on those days. Of course, we could still go out on Chuyi. These days, we don't always stay in Beijing for the Spring Festival. Sometimes we go on a trip to some other part of China. Last year, we were lucky enough to go to Hainan Island. Instead of skating, we went swimming. That was a treat. The seawater in February was warmer than it is in the middle of the summer in England. That made up for those snowy, icy, windy Beijing springs. 1983 was another memorable festival for us. A friend of the Naxi national minority invited us to his home in the mountains in northwest Yunnan, 2,000 meters above sea level. What a wonderful place, and what wonderful people! How hospitable despite being far from Wan Yuanhu. They introduced us to their friends and relatives, as well as to their ancient culture. And it goes without saying that they wined and dined us with their fiery hot food. One very special meal was a picnic by the graves of the ancestors. This was no English-style picnic with a couple of sandwiches and a bottle of beer. The Mongolian-style hot pot was carried up into the hills, and there was a regular feast for all three generations. But the first cup of wine was placed by the grave of the clan ancestor. Why shouldn't he join in the fun along with his descendants? Of course, there was the usual exchange of gifts. The most precious one I received was a granddaughter, or at least a god-granddaughter, nearly 1 year old. I had nothing of comparable value to offer in return. In 1981, we went to Jiangxi and Fujian. The high point was walking in the Wuyi Mountains, on the border of the two provinces. These mountains are not high by Chinese standards, though they are higher than any in Britain. But they are ideal for hiking, even when it snows, as it did when we climbed them. The lower slopes are planted with tea bushes. Above them tower spectacular crags, sheer precipices, and massive rock clefts by narrow paths. You can scarcely squeeze through them, especially after the continuous banqueting which is hard to avoid during the Spring Festival. But the biggest banquets are not always the best. Years ago, I remember, as the festival approached, there would be a dance in the students' dining hall, to which we teachers were invited. Then there was the finest feast of all. Great buckets and cauldrons of steaming lava jiao, a thick, sweet porridge of glutinous rice, full of green beans, candied fruit, peanuts, and lotus kernels. It wasn't these ingredients alone which made the lava jiao delicious. It was the jolly atmosphere, with students, teachers, cooks, and carders all enjoying themselves together. In 1980, we spent the Spring Festival in Chengdu, and there I got another shock. On the first day of the Lunar New Year, we visited a famous temple. The street outside the main gate was lined with sellers of incense. People were queuing up by the hundreds to buy it, and burn the incense, and chant and bow, even to kowtow, as they made the rounds of the temple statues. At first I felt sad. Here we were, over 30 years after liberation, in a socialist country, and people were still doing this. We discussed it and concluded that it had its good side. It takes time to create a scientific world outlook, and these ancient practices and beliefs had evidently never been rooted out. They had simply gone underground, especially during the days of the Gang of Four. Now, 4 years after the gang's overthrow, the people felt free and unafraid to do in the open what had been hidden in their hearts and homes. In any case, these incense burners were not a cross-section of the people. They were mostly old ladies with little bound feet who'd been deprived of education. But then with them were their grandchildren, some wearing red scarves. That seemed terrible. Young pioneers worshipping idols. In the end, I realized that the children didn't believe the idols controlled their fate. They were looking after their grannies, helping them over the temple thresholds and showing them the way. So I thought, that's what they'll do as they grow up. They'll show their grannies the way into a modernized socialist China. Text B. Christmas Day. Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ on the 25th of December. The Christian calendar starts in the year in which Jesus was born. The letters AD with a year mean Anno Domini, or in the year of our Lord. Christmas Day is a very happy day for many boys and girls. Before the term ends in some schools, the children act a nativity or birth play showing how Jesus was born in a stable. Many of the celebrations at Christmas are old customs. Some fathers dress up in a red cloak and put on a long white beard. They pretend to be Father Christmas or Santa Claus and put presents by the beds of their children. The words Santa Claus are a way of saying Saint Nicholas, a good man who helped poor people and gave presents to them more than 300 years after Jesus was born. To most Christians in Europe and America, Christmas Day finishes the year, although there are still a few days left after it. Shop windows are decorated with Christmas trees some months before December, and notices are put up saying, 68 shopping days to Christmas, or 21 shopping days to Christmas. Cotton wool is stuck onto the shop windows to look like snow, and holly and mistletoe are hung up. Parents buy presents for their children. Then they have to hide them in the house to stop the children from finding out what Father Christmas is going to bring them. On the 24th of December, all children are very excited. Usually, they are sent to bed early so that their parents can get the presents ready. The younger children think that Father Christmas will come down the chimney or fireplace, so they hang up a sock for him to put presents in. The greedy ones even hang up a pillowcase or a sack to try to get more presents. Later that night, father or mother will put presents in the sock and leave others at the side of the bed. On Christmas morning, the children wake up very early. Some even turn on the light at 2 o'clock, and most of them are awake by 6 o'clock, although it is not light in England for another hour or two at this time of the year. Children look for their presents, and the young ones play while the dinner is prepared. At about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the Christmas dinner is brought in. The turkey or chicken is quickly eaten. Children search in their Christmas pudding for new coins which are hidden in it. The rest of the day is full of games and eating until the happiest of all Christian holidays comes to an end. Additional information. Now that the spring festival is over, I only have school to look forward to. It's really funny. I find myself looking forward more and more to school. As usual, I can get little work done during the winter vacation. For one thing, the spring festival is always a big distraction, and for days before and after, nobody can get any work done. It's all right if you really have a nice time, as I used to, but now I find myself enjoying it less and less. I stopped enjoying fireworks and firecrackers years ago. The firecrackers especially get on my nerves. I really think we should stop making them, as every year many children have their eyes hurt or even blinded. Even worse, sometimes fires are started and whole buildings get burned down. Still, I suppose we'll continue to make them as long as there is a market for them. And the food. People spend days queuing and buying. The result? Too much and too rich food which does nobody any good. Chicken, duck, fish, pork, beef, mutton, name what you will. What's more, they become tasteless too. Too much of a good thing, as we say. And this visiting business too. It's all right for a few really good friends to get together and chat over some tea or drinks, but mere acquaintances and the usually not too neighbourly neighbours dropping in to say hello, well, I suppose these are well-intended gestures, but I find them a pain in the neck. Usually there is nothing to talk about except some meaningless platitudes. Mum is looking very tired, and no wonder. Dad, too, I think, found the whole thing a strain. The only two who really enjoyed the Spring Festival are Granny and Xiao Hong. Still, Spring Festival comes only once a year. Oh, yes, I did enjoy myself skating on the nearby lake quite a few times. The ice is not too good now, and getting very thin. I stopped going before the Spring Festival. But there are people who are either too reckless or too ignorant, or both. And we hear about people falling through thin ice every year. Lesson 32. Do you know your own character? Text A. The Ox. You're a hard and conscientious worker if you are born in the year of the ox, and you set about everything in a methodical and determined manner. You're a strong leader, tough and uncompromising. You know what you want and don't let anything stand in your way.You take responsibilities very seriously and place a great deal of trust in friends and colleagues. But if you feel someone has let you down, you'll erupt. You're a loner who cherishes your independence. You can be stubborn and obstinate. You're a poor loser who takes setbacks badly. As an ox, you're often rather studious and not renowned for your sense of humor. You love tradition and are suspicious of anything new.Your home is very important to you. It's your private sanctuary. You make sure that members of your close-knit family do their share of the work. You're neat and well-organized and very punctual. Nothing infuriates you more than being kept waiting. Yes, you are a hard taskmaster. Given the opportunity, you'd live in the country and spend hours pottering around a large garden. Not surprisingly, oxen do well in agriculture or politics.You are also very gifted in the arts and music, and many of you enjoy considerable success as musicians and composers. Female oxen are caring and kind. You're a loving parent and excellent organizer. You're very determined and often get what you want in life. Sincere, loyal, and unpretentious, oxen are very down-to-earth characters. You can, however, be rather reserved, and some may see you as distant and aloof.Underneath that quiet nature, though, you're strong-willed and ambitious. So you have the courage of your convictions and are often prepared to stand up for what you believe. The Tiger. Born under the sign of courage, you're charismatic and usually have firm views and beliefs. You do everything with energy and enthusiasm. A highly original thinker, you're nearly always brimming with new ideas.You adore a challenge and love getting involved. At least once in a lifetime, you'll throw caution to the wind and go off and do your own thing. With your restless nature, however, your enthusiasm can soon wane. You're impulsive and sometimes regret your actions. You need to think things through. Fortunately, you're lucky in most enterprises, but when things don't work out, you suffer bouts of depression. Although your life is a series of ups and downs, you're very adaptable.With your restless spirit, you rarely stay in one place for long. You're open and honest, and hate hypocrisy. So you can be rebellious at times, which can lead you into conflict. You're never one to shrink from arguments. Tigers are natural leaders, and you should rise to the top of your profession, though you don't like bureaucracy and hate obeying orders. And despite your great leadership qualities, you can be indecisive and overly sensitive to criticism.Tigresses are lively and witty, and you're great hostesses. You take care over your appearance and are good with children. You have great teaching qualities, too. You have a very caring and generous nature. Tigers have many commendable qualities, and you are often an inspiration for other people. You'll have full and satisfying lives. provided that you can curb those wild excesses. The rabbit. Intelligent and well-mannered, rabbits prefer a quiet existence, so you hate any sort of unpleasantness and will try to steer clear of arguments and disputes. You're a pacifist and tend to have a calming influence on those around you. With your wide interests, you appreciate the arts and finer things in life. You know how to enjoy yourself and gravitate to the best restaurants and night spots. You're a witty and intelligent speaker and love being involved in a good discussion when your views and advice are often sought. You rarely raise your voice in anger and will even turn a blind eye to matters which displease you just to preserve the peace. You can be a sensitive soul and take any form of criticism badly. A quiet, efficient worker, you have an extremely good memory. You're often astute in business and finance, but hate making quick decisions. You're a planner who doesn't like to take risks. Because you're conscientious, you will do well in your chosen profession. You're an excellent diplomat and would make a good lawyer or shopkeeper. You're a great collector, and many rabbits derive pleasure from stamps or antiques. Your home is important to you, and you spend time and money on maintaining and furnishing it. Female rabbits have caring, considerate natures, and you do everything in your power to keep your home happy and loving. You're sociable and enjoy entertaining. With your great ability to get the maximum out of your time, you involve yourself in numerous activities, but always find time for a chat. The rabbit is usually lucky in life. You often have the happy knack of being in the right place at the right time. You're talented and quick-witted, but sometimes put pleasure before work. The dragon. You're a proud, lively character, born under the dragon, and you have tremendous self-confidence. Dragons are highly intelligent, and you're quick to take advantage of any opportunities that occur. You're a perfectionist who sets yourself high standards. You won't suffer fools gladly. You're blunt and forthright, though occasionally gullible. When crossed, you can take quite a long time to forgive and forget. You enjoy being in the limelight, and you're at your best when confronted by sticky problems. In some respects, you're a showman, and you rarely lack an audience. Your views are highly valued, and you invariably have something interesting to say. Dragons have considerable energy, and you're often prepared to work long and unsocial hours. You can, however, be rather impulsive and don't always consider the consequences of your actions. As you tend to live for the moment, delays irritate you more than anything. You rely tremendously on your own judgment and can be scornful of others' advice. You cherish your independence to such a degree that you may remain single throughout your life. However, dragons often have lots of admirers who are attracted by your flamboyance and your striking good looks. The female dragon knows what she wants in life and sets about things in a very determined manner. No job is too small for you, and you're often prepared to work extremely hard, though you hate being bound by routine. You do tend to speak your mind, too. If you're an adventurous dragon, you'll love to go traveling off the beaten track. Though you're rather demanding, you have many friends and you're nearly always the center of attention. Text B. What's ahead? The ox. It's going to be a busy and immensely satisfying year for you, during which hard work will pay off in a big way. One turn of events may be resented at first, but this will work out well. Generally, it will be a year of surprises during which you should seize opportunities which present themselves, branching out into new areas. The year won't be without awkward problems, though, and you may find yourself having to deal with something distasteful. You should be wary of acting without the backing of others. Failure to do so could leave you feeling isolated. Family matters will keep you busy, and you'll also be involved in major home improvements. These could be much bigger than you first realized. Financially, it will be a very lucky year, and you should think seriously about starting a long-term savings policy as a shrewd investment in years to come. Generally, 1988 will be a good year, and if you follow your own judgment, it will be very fulfilling for you indeed. What's ahead? The tiger. Tigers are going to be very lucky in many ventures. You'll find yourself in demand. You need to resist distractions, however, and concentrate on one thing at a time. At home, you should tread carefully. Someone close to you may sometimes resent being kept out of your activities. Time spent with your family will be enjoyable and rewarding, and more friends will come into your circle. You'll have a very busy social life this year, and several influential people will help your career. It's a highly romantic year, too, and you may become engaged or married. Financially, you should need to restrain your spending and should seek professional advice before committing any money. Overexertion could lead to headaches, and you'll need time for recreational activities with a few short breaks every now and then. Even tigers need a rest. Generally, you'll be very pleased with your achievements during 1988. What's ahead? The rabbit. New and more demanding responsibilities lie ahead for rabbits when you'll consolidate recent gains. Although generally quiet souls, you should not be afraid of making your views known. You are also going to be successful in financial matters, but should avoid being overconfident with investments. However, you will make several fortunate purchases. You will experience a few difficulties in your home life, and these can best be sorted out by being open and frank. To keep healthy, you should stick to a balanced diet and take plenty of exercise. You will be spending a lot of time at home carrying out alterations. Generally, rabbits will be pleased with any accomplishment this year. You may not be at ease with everything around you, but you'll make lots of progress. What's ahead? The dragon. As a dragon, you're going to enjoy the next 12 months. After all, it is your year. Never one to let the grass grow under your feet, you'll realize some of your cherished ambitions. Almost straight away, there will be news of a promotion or a better job. It promises to be an exciting, innovative year, and you'll have to take full advantage of the opportunities. At home, you'll be busy too, with a possible addition to the family. You may have to spend time with someone who is not in the best of health. You're renowned for your kindness and devotion. But try not to overdo things. In this busy year, though, you'll visit places you've longed to see. With your tendency to speak your mind, you also should guard against entering into controversial discussions and making tactless remarks. Neither should you rush into any home move. Financially, you should have few problems, but avoid get-rich-quick schemes. Thank you.
听力课堂欢迎你，
听力课堂欢迎你，
听啊点儿啊。